Y'all remain standing and let's honor God's word as we hear it read this morning from Luke chapter 2. You've already heard a portion of this, but let's hear it one more time. Come on, Sebastian.
My name is Sebastian Smith, and I'm a part of Good Shepherd Kids.
Hold on a second, Sebastian. Let me get you a microphone.
There you go.
My name is Sebastian Smith, and I'm a part of Good Shepherd Kids. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. It was night, and they were taking care of their sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. It will bring great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Here is how you will know I'm telling you the truth. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a large group of angels from heaven also appeared. They were praising God. They said, "May glory be given to God in the highest heaven. And may peace be given to those he is pleased with on earth." The angels left and went into heaven. Then the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. The baby was lying in a manger. After the shepherds had seen him, they told everyone. They reported what the angel had said about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary kept all these things like a secret treasure in her heart. She thought about them over and over. The shepherds returned. They gave glory and praise to God. Everything they had seen and heard was just as they had been told.
Yep.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes from your mouth. Open today our ears, our minds, our hearts, that we could receive and live in your living world. Who's Jesus? Amen.
Let me get both mics. You can be seated. Here. There we go. All right. Sebastian, thank you, brother. You're a natural. The first thing we have to do is light our Advent candle. Miss Tucker suggested it was not a good idea to have an open flame while all this is going on. And you know, this is our, and I usually do what she says, the third Sunday of Advent. And you know, Advent simply means arrival. It means coming. The third Sunday of Advent is the candle of joy, and we've definitely had a joyful and wondrous Advent. When we think about the Advent candles, we anticipate this prayer, this ancient prayer of the church that says, "Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha." And we know at Christmas we're celebrating and marking Jesus' coming, his arrival, his first arrival in the world. We know there's another arrival that's important, his coming into each one of our lives. A decision we make and a decision we continue to make throughout our lives. And then we look to that future coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Come in justice and in peace, making all things right. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. As we've looked at the wonder of it all this Advent season, we've looked through several lenses. We've looked through the lens of Joseph's story on the first Sunday of Advent. We looked at Mary's story last week. And this morning, I want to look at the shepherd's story. The shepherd's story. We've had great examples, haven't we, of shepherds this morning with hats and without hats. Let's be honest about the shepherds in this story. They weren't looking for anything. They had zero anticipation. They had zero preparation. In fact, if we're going to look at the shepherds with any honesty, let's just say that on that first night, on that Christmas night, they were scared out of their sandals. I'm surprised, frankly, that those angels, that those shepherds didn't just walk away, quit their jobs, lay down the crook and the hat and the whole thing and leave the sheep for someone else to tend, to walk out of the field and never return. I don't know what the equivalent was in, what, 2 or 3 B.C., I think is the best guess of the actual birth of Jesus. I don't know what the equivalent at that time was of like running away and joining the circus. But I'm surprised the shepherds didn't do it. If you believe the Ridley Scott gladiator movies, maybe that was the option. You go be a gladiator. You fight your way to freedom and success in the world. But the shepherds didn't do that. They didn't run away. They didn't quit their job. The Bible, though, gives us hints of people who, when confronted with a clear sign of the work of God, did just that. You know the stories? Peter and Andrew, James and John, those first disciples of Jesus, what did they do? They left their family business. They walked away from the fishing boats and the nets. And they said, we're done with this. We're following the work of God. Jesus even spoke to that young man, a ruler they called him, maybe just someone with social capital and we know financial capital as well. And Jesus looked that fellow in the face, right in the eyes, when he said, what do I do to follow you completely? And Jesus said, take everything you have, everything you own, sell it, give it to the poor, and follow me. So there is precedent. There is precedent for quitting and walking away, even though that fellow didn't do it. He didn't say yes. That's not what happened to the shepherds. There was no circus in their future. There was no gladiator battles in their future. There was just shepherding. It seems they shepherded and they continued to shepherd. They didn't leave the sheep or sell the sheep. They didn't quit and walk away. But I wonder as I read this story and as I hear the Lord speak in this story, I wonder if they didn't quit in a different way. I wonder if they didn't quit in a different way. I wonder if they quit being just shepherds of sheep. I mean, it's clear they continued to shepherd the sheep. They didn't abandon their post. They were still identified as shepherds. But I wonder if they started shepherding. I wonder if they started tending something else in their lives. I wonder, because I see how they tended a word from God. That they were unique. They were unique. They hadn't, I don't think they had been up praying and reading the Bible and looking for signs of the Messiah's arrival in the world. So in that way, they're really maybe behind some of us. And while they hadn't actively prepared, let's plant both of our feet firmly on this, that God is always preparing. When you've forgotten to prepare, and you feel like life is coming at you faster than you anticipated, when you've just shown up for the day's work or the assignments, maybe it just starts first thing in the morning with a cry. Maybe one of these little shepherds and angels is in your house and it's their cry or their need that wakes you up first thing in the morning. And you just like, Calgon, take me away, right? I mean, you got to be old to remember those commercials, bro. But these shepherds, they weren't really ready, and suddenly God decided they were ready enough. And first one angel, and then a multitude of angels. It's interesting to read this closely. It doesn't even say, you know, I imagine it, and I think you do too, that the angel appears somewhere up here, and then the sky is burst. That's not actually there in the text. It just says the angel appeared. And then there was a multitude of them. I don't know, did the shepherds feel surrounded? What we do know is this. They received a word from God. They received a word from God. And if I trust that God was preparing them, I have to trust that God is preparing me and that God is preparing you. Let's be honest. The only reason you may be here this morning is because of a shepherd or an angel. who was up here barely holding things together. But let's be honest, if you came to that invitation, I believe that God's at work in your life as well. And so you, no less than a shepherd on the side of a Bethlehem hill, you, no less than a shepherd, are prepared already, prepared by God Himself to receive a word from Him, a promise from Him, a sign. What was it? The angels told them there will be peace. Everyone who's willing, here's my translation of that. Everyone who's willing to come and make peace with God, God is willing through Jesus Christ to make peace with you. Everyone. We can get tripped up into that goodwill toward men on whom His favor rests. God will put His favor. God will put His favor on anyone who put himself or herself in a place to receive that favor. God's goodwill is here. And the shepherds, from the very beginning, the shepherds began to tend that word. They shepherded themselves and their own hearts in what God was speaking to them. Now they were, the Bible's clear, they were scared out of their sandals. But they also tended, they didn't just tend that word. They didn't just tend that word, the word from God for you. I'm not an angel. But I'll tell you, God has a word for you today. He wants to rest peace on your life if you'll make peace with Him. So like the shepherds, will you tend that word? And like the shepherds, will you tend your own hearts and lives in response to that word? And when I say they tended their own lives, here's what I want you to see. These shepherds tended to obedience. They didn't know everything about God, but they decided to obey what they did know to be true about God. They didn't know everything about God, but they decided to walk in obedience, to live in obedience to what they knew to be true about God. There's so many things about the Christmas story that are slow. I mean, Mary and 9 whole months of pregnancy, when God says, you'd think when God says, I'm coming into the world, you know, He would do it in an instant. But no, He did it the same way all the rest of us came into the world. 9 months, that's slow. Describing this journey from Bethlehem, or from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to be enrolled in this census for taxation, that's slow. There's no fast forwarding of the Christmas story, just like there's no fast forwarding of our lives. You can't skip the boring parts or the difficult parts and just go for the highlights. There's some elements of the Christmas story that are slow, but one thing I want you to see, one thing right here that is so instant, it's obedience. The shepherd's obedience to what they heard from God, the shepherd's obedience was instant. Hear it again, chapter 2, verse 15, if you still have your Bibles open. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off. I've been in enough conversations with people. Let me be honest, I've been in enough conversations with myself to know that could have gone down very differently. They could have said, "Well, it's late. Our shift is almost over. Let's wait. You know, let's wait till the morning shepherds get here, and then we'll go along. Should we check in with the? I don't know who looked after shepherds. The shepherd of the shepherds, the foreman or the overseer or whatever it was. The good shepherd. Somebody. The good shepherd." Maybe we should wait and ask permission. Maybe we should ask around. You know, they probably weren't the only shepherds right there on that hillside in that section of Judea outside Bethlehem. Because the shepherds, these shepherds, they were part of the great complex of industry that surrounded the temple. They were raising sheep, not just for food or for wool. They were raising sheep that would likely have been sacrificial animals in the temple. So they were part of this great complex. They knew at a distance about God. But suddenly God's work had gotten its feet dirty and was right in their world. But maybe they wanted to hedge their bets. Let's send word to the other groups of shepherds. Did anybody else hear this? After all, I don't want to be a religious fanatic. I don't want to stand out. Let's see what everybody else is thinking. And see, we don't want to be outliers. We want to be in the mainstream. Maybe one of the shepherds poured out whatever it was in his cup and said, I think we got a bad batch. Because I'm seeing things and hearing things I've never seen before. Who knows? Who knows what they could have said? They could have just made a vow. They could have just looked at each other, circled up and said, all right, we're not talking about this ever again. It just never happened. Family secret. But what did they do? They tended to the word, and they tended to their own lives. They did it. They did what the angels invited them to do. They did what God has said, and this is happening. They went to see it. They went to follow up. There was no reason that they could talk themselves out of it. And you know, when you try, you can always talk yourself out of obedience to God. I don't have to give you permission. You know how to do it. I know how to do it. It's a lot harder to talk yourself into obedience. It's easier just to do it. They tended their own lives and they just did it. Like attending to that word from God and then responding to it in a way that honors the word that was spoken to you. I love how they tended to others. They didn't keep this story a secret. Nobody gave them a tract and told them they had to tell anyone else. It was no sense of evangelistic obligation. How the Word of God had simply been tended in their lives, and they were tending their own lives and walking in obedience, and there was no way they could contain themselves. Their witness, their presence. Nobody told them. It was just an overflow. It's like these children. You know, the day after Christmas, are you going to have to make them tell anybody what was left for them under the tree? No. That's going to be the talk of their lives for days and for days. It will just overflow from them. That's how these shepherds are tending others, and they're tending their own hearts and their own lives in an ongoing relationship with God. What does it say? They came, and then they left. They returned. That's how I know they went back to their posts. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They went back to work. I wonder if through the next week they would tend their sheep, and then when the shift broke, they'd run home and the shepherd wives would have baked some cookies and maybe made a casserole, and they'd make another delivery to Mary and Joseph right there in the stable. I wonder if they went more than once. I don't think you could go and not want to go back again. I wonder if Mary and Joseph had to put a little sign on the stable door. Said, don't ring the doorbell, the baby's sleeping. Because there were so many shepherds. Because there were so many shepherds. It was irresistible. They could not come back again and again and again. And I wonder how many of us just need to quit. Not quit our jobs, not like Peter and Andrew and James and John, not sell the boats. Maybe some of you need to do that. But I think there are probably a whole host of others among us. And God, if he could speak a clear word to us, he would say, quit. He'd say, quit your job. Quit doing your job the way you're doing it now. Quit living your life the way you're doing it now. Not quit your job and abandon your post, but just approach it differently. Approach it recognizing that God is speaking a word to you. And you can, like the shepherds, continue to tend your work, tend your actual sheep. But you can tend some other things as well. Tend that word that he's speaking to you. Tend your obedience to those things that you know if you give yourself a moment to quiet everything and take out the AirPods and just let your heart be quiet for a minute. That may be terrifying. But if you sit in it long enough, God will speak some words. Words, I believe, that will be evenly matched. There'll be a hand on your back that kind of pats you and encourages you. And there may be a quick kick. But it won't sting long because that hand will be on your shoulder reminding you that you are his child, his son, his daughter. And he'll be encouraging you on the way. We read in my men's Bible study group, we read from these same verses this past week. And I had sent a text. I said, encouraging. This is a familiar story. I wrote, this is a familiar story, but read and see if God would tell you anything new. Somebody responded and said, I'm still working on the old things God's already told me. You may not have to quiet your heart too long because you know the old things that the Lord has spoken, the ways he's brought direction and peace and encouragement and hope and even challenge into your life. And so it's a matter of, will you quit listening to all the other voices and tend to that one word that really means the most? Will you tend to your life in a way that walks in obedience to that which he has called you? Will you quit your job? Intend a living word from God. What was God's word? Glory to God, the angel's word, glory to God in the highest heaven. That's a great place to start, isn't it? A place of praise. A place where we acknowledge that our claims, even our best spiritual dreams, we offer ourselves and then we take our hands off and say with the angels and with the shepherds, all glory and praise belongs to God. And the angels said, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Can we tend that word that he really is offering peace to us? As we close this morning, we'll pray. Our band will come back up. And there'll be an opportunity. We've got prayer team folks that'll be down front. If this morning, we're actually not in a hurry. The Baptist praise team is not in the hallway, like peeking through the windows. So in this moment as we sing, recognize we have room for God to speak to us today. Word for him to bring us on to a place of tending our own hearts and our own obedience so that we could be faithful to tend the others in our lives as well. Let's pray together. Gracious God, it is our prayer. It's our hope that you would speak to us. We believe you've prepared us, maybe. Maybe we won't be terrified like the shepherds were. But maybe, Lord, we do need to be afraid of missing your word, afraid of not tending your word, tending our lives in the ways to which you are inviting us. Help us tend our lives so that our whole life, not just our prayers, not just our church words, but that our whole lives would be this prayer, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. If you sense a barrier to your open invitation to God, that may be one reason to come and pray at the altar. If you sense that God is wanting to give you a peace that you haven't been able to find, and you hear in today's word a word of peace for you, come and pray. Don't leave. Don't leave today apart from receiving the goodwill of God, the peace that God wants to give through Jesus. We offer our lives and all of our prayers in His name. Amen.